great future. We're talking real money.
I'm an emotional creature. I am emotional. And I get emotional about a lot of things. I get emotional about my spouse, my children, the dogs, my co-host. I get emotional when good friends die, like my dear friend Pat Schroeder, former congresswoman from Colorado who just died a few days ago. I get emotional about those things. And you know what? Getting emotional about those things is good. That is the proper use of the emotional component of human beings. Yet, there's one thing we get emotional about that we really shouldn't, and we do it way too often, and it really hurts us. And that is allowing our emotions to motivate, to decide what we do with our money, to make investing decisions for us. Emotions are your worst enemy when it comes to money. They are financial killers.
Yeah, and by the way, you get emotional about money too. You're not going to admit it, but we all do.
I got to tell you, the one area where I fight to control it the most, though, is
okay,
money.
You fight to control it, but sometimes you look at your bank account and go, oh, there's more than I thought, or oh, there's less. I mean, we all do that. That's
okay, a little bit.
Reaction.
But I don't let it decide what I'm going to do with my money. I do not do that. Absolutely.
Never
100%.
Never a purchase you made that was like,
My investments. Okay, investments.
Okay, with your investments. Okay, your money, because that's a big topic, the money.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. You're right. Investing. I should say investing. Yeah. It's as far as I can go. That's all I can control. I can control it with investing, and the other stuff,
That's fair.
It's only a couple of bucks. Another microphone. Hey, what's another microphone?
You only got 19 or whatever in the studio.
I
got to
sell some. I'm going to have a microphone sale soon.
I just gave one away the other day to somebody in the office because we're cleaning up the office.
Because you won't sell stuff. You just it would require you going
L-A-Z-Y.
Online.
L-A-Z-Y, yeah, exactly. How does that work?
L-U-D-D-I-T-E.
The interweb? How does that work? This is a fascinating, and this is sadly only a few minutes, and not enough, frankly, is devoted in our industry to this. And that is exactly what you said, sort of the emotional aspect of money, how to deal with it. Because your brain, and Jason Zweig wrote, I think, still the best book on this. I think it's called Your Money and
Your
Brain.
Your Money and Your Brain. Yeah,
and very clearly points out that your brain really is working against you. You don't think it is, but it really is. And let's go through a few of the things. This is from a New York Times piece written by Kristen Wong, I think several weeks ago. And she goes through the biases that people face. It's fascinating. And when I read one of them, I was like, that's me. You know, the present bias, right? The idea that you got to, the single word might be YOLO.
YOLO.
You only live once.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Present bias poses significant challenges to saving money. Saving money. Because
I'd rather spend
it now. I see that shiny thing. I got to have that 19th microphone because the first 18 aren't that great, right? This one will just give me that much more. And aren't you? Wait. Program note, Don is going to get voice lessons in a week. My God, talk about a guy who doesn't need voice lessons, but that's a whole other topic.
I get coached constantly. I have my voice coached all the time because I love to learn. That's different. Although I have to tell you, my $3,000, my $3,500 mic, I'm going to sell because I found that a $1,000 mic sounds better.
Ah, there you go. So you saved. But YOLO is a big one. We've seen that so much really in the last, 3+ years now with the pandemic, right? Mm-hmm. People making decisions about got to have this, got to do that, et cetera. So present bias is a big one. Status quo bias.
I don't know that one.
This is my problem. Reluctance to change.
Oh, I don't know. That's why I don't know that
exactly.
One. Because I got none of that.
Status quo bias can make it hard to build good financial habits because we assume we'll have to make significant changes in order to do so. In other words, I kind of like having that Raspberry Rally Girl Scout cookie when I could have a carrot instead. Not going to change. Not that
big. What does that have to do with investing?
I don't know. It has everything to do with my status quo. but here's the one that impacts me the worst. And I think a lot of investors face the same thing. Optimism bias. the habit of overestimating the likelihood of a positive event and underestimating the likelihood of a negative one. I think I suffer. In other words, what do my brothers say? Not even the rose-colored glasses. I mean, I think the future is bright. I think things are going to work out. That's just my emotional makeup. And that is not a good thing, because anytime you hire somebody, anytime you invest something, you should have a little Don McDonald in there whispering in your ear saying, is this really going to work? Is this really the right thing to do? Because I'm not. That, my brain doesn't work that way. You mean
my theory that most of these things work right up until they don't?
Exactly. I mean, and so you need to be cautious. And a lot of people are not.
Skeptical. Cynical. That's me. Cynical. Yeah.
Just a little bit of that. A little bit of that.
A little cynicism.
Yeah.
Goes a long way.
And how about this one?
Like a little cinnamon goes a long way.
Exactly. Cynicism. How about this one? I love this one. The bandwagon effect. This is huge.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. I want to. Everybody else is making money.
Exactly.
Everybody made money in crypto except me. I got to buy some.
Yeah. You know, or the meme stocks or the SPACs, whatever thing it was. I got to be part of that bandwagon. And we see this all the time. And guess what? You're usually the last guy to invest in one of those right before it. What was that thing you just said? Oh, it's good until it's not good. Right?
Until it's not.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you're kind of the last one in the pool, and
exactly.
The water's gone.
Whoops. Not
it's all
working
been splashed
well.
Out. Ow.
And speaking of the pool, how about the anchoring effect? Our tendency to latch on to the most recent information presented to us.
Like the bank failed, so therefore the banks are failing.
I would call this recency bias.
That's what Zwine calls it, recency bias.
Yeah, like it just happened, so it's good. This is going to continue to happen. Not necessarily. Oh, yeah, because it just, and then the bank thing, one, two, three, right? A couple banks, what's going to be the third thing to fall? These are all.
Oh, and do they have that in there? The rule of threes, that everything happens
not.
In threes?
They probably should, though. That's a good bias. So what do you do if you know, I love the optimism bias, because I am optimistic that I should. So when I look at things, I should be more skeptical, not cynical, skeptical. But what do you do with these? Well, I do think that what I just mentioned, knowing yourself and admitting your faults, these are areas I'm not the best at. So I should really have, and that brings me to number two, get help or at least have somebody review things. You got to find somebody you can trust before you jump.
Well, we offer that service.
Okay, I'm getting to that.
No. I just mean as a show, as a podcast.
Bingo.
I mean, ongoing basis, no obligations or costs or anything. You can call us with questions
and
send them in at talkingrealmoney.com. And I don't know why more don't. You know, before you do something, here's the problem. Yeah. You tend to do it and go, wait. Did I do something stupid? Let me check with Tom and Don. And if it was buying an annuity, you did.
Yeah.
And it's probably too late.
And that does bring me to the last one of my three, and that is wait. Sleep on things, rethink things. Don't be in a hurry. You know, my business is a soccer referee. It's a fascinating thing. I see a foul. I know I'm going to blow the whistle, but I already hear from the crowd, hey, like I see that. I'm going to call it, take a deep breath. And but people, we have a tendency to make decisions quickly based on the wrong things. When I should be thinking, Don McDonald saying I should be a little skeptical because you can't get the rate of the market return with no other risk, right? Because that just doesn't happen.
These are
good things to always consider. As I said, if you really wanted to get into it, I would highly recommend Jason's book, which I'm sure is still in print because
it's valuable. It's too great a book to
it's
be out of print.
Book. Yeah, and that would be a good place to start. But be aware of them, know yourself, and don't rush into things, I think.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing you can do is, and it's not really any of those specifics, it's just control your emotions.
Yeah,
when it comes to money,
hard to you can
control
say that.
Your emotions when it comes to money.
How about to food? Okay. How about to diet? How about to exercise? How about to all those other things?
Those are important, but nothing's more important than the money. You need that to live.
Oh, the diet?
You need that
to
get the food. You can't get the food without
the money.
If you
overeat all the time, then it won't matter how much money you have.
If you want to lose a lot of weight, then blow all your money so that you're really poor and you can't eat anything.
Okay. That gets back to the other bias there about the don't have to, anyway, to lose weight or to save money. You can start. you don't have to lose a lot. You just do something, which anyway, that's a whole other show, I guess. But okay, fair enough.
Talking you want to take, real weight loss.
You want to take a couple questions?
I'd love to take a couple questions.
All right, this question comes from Trevor in Hutchins, Texas. Don't know Hutchins. He says, I'm signing up for my company's 401k. And what is your opinion, both personal and professional, of Principal Life Insurance Company, Principal Financial Services?
Yeah, no.
But if it's
isn't
your company
that a millennial
plan,
phrase? Yeah, no.
But if it's your company plan, I don't know exactly. He says 28, no assets, no debt, a wife and two young kids. Well, there's assets. You got a wife and kids. Those are assets. Well, they might be liabilities. At any rate, I don't know if you're going to have any option, because if your company uses Principal, which I'm sorry to hear that they do, mm-hmm. then you're kind of stuck, aren't you? Now, here's what you could do. Here's what you could do. If the company provides a match, you could save in the plan up to the match, right? Get the free money. Then you could put money either in a Roth, where you could build a more diversified portfolio at lower cost, or, as Don McDonald regularly points out, just a regular brokerage account. You can actually save in those places too. You can buy securities that will probably not exist in your company's plan at a lower cost and better diversified. So those are things to think about, Trevor. And great job thinking about any of this at age 28.
Yeah. There's
not enough people
I am just looking at what their choices are.
Well, that could be a plan-by-plan
this
thing.
Cracks me up.
You know?
There are four different ways to choose, or four different kinds of products to choose. You can choose. They got asset allocation choices, target date funds, fixed income funds, and investment fiduciary support.
Oh, come on. Uh-huh. What does that mean?
Uh-huh. That means that they do fee-based or only money management, but I cannot imagine what they – well, I can always look up what they charge, can't I?
Well, do you know what their target date funds run at the Principal Life Insurance Company?
Well, that's what I was going to look at those. I just have so many things to look at simultaneously.
0.85, 0.9, some ridiculous thing.
Well, I'm trying to pull those up. At the same time, I pull up their ADV Part 2.
You're doing all that at one time? Are you juggling and eating lunch too?
I have multiple screens here.
You're good, man. You're really good.
Let's see. Target date funds. Target date tools, principal target date fund, hybrid investment options. They just do make life difficult, don't they? Then
don't
you get to choose between hybrid and active investment.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Hybrid, I guess hybrid's better than active.
Sure.
So we'll do that.
Because you're going to get some passive, cheaper stuff.
All right. So let's see. Principal asset. Well, where's the fund? Gee, they don't. They do make it hard. They do make it hard. Let's.
You
find,
getting the message here, Trevor? Yeah.
Disclosures. Oh my gosh! Before they'll even tell you anything about their funds,
you got to
get down. You got to go dig. You got to dig deep.
I thought you were saying going to get down on your knees and beg for it.
You have to. Okay, finally. Oh my gosh! The expense ratios.
Yeah.
Right,
page 19.
Go. Principal, let's go out to, he's, let's go out to 20, what's for him, 2060?
Give him 35 years, that's about right, yeah.
Okay, the principal.
2060 target
date fund. The principal lifetime
wow.
2060 fund.
Yeah, how much?
1.09% per year.
And okay, what is the Vanguard? I could look it up myself. The Vanguard.
Yeah, you look that up because I'm doing other things.
You're busy. You got nine screens going on other stuff. The Vanguard 2060. Gosh sakes, 2060. Hard to even imagine that year, much less invest for it. Anyway, that's a long time down the road. Let's see. The Vanguard 2060 VTTSX.
Yeah.
And I'm just betting you it's going to be like 15 basis points.
Okay. I didn't place a bet, but whatever. Okay. Retirement plan consulting. Now we're looking that up. You are really slow. You're slower than I am.
Yeah, it is. It's 0.08.
Oh my gosh, it was half what you said.
Yeah, I know. You just saved a lot of money. So anyway, yeah, you get the message.
All right, their retirement expensive. Plan consulting.
Oh yeah, there's a great fiduciary
advice.
Well,
no, it's not. Actually, it's not terrible. It says asset-based fees generally are not to exceed 1%, but then you tack on the cost of the funds. Yeah. And if you're doing 1% on your funds, then you're looking at total fees and expenses of the 2%
range,
which
wait,
is too high.
There may be more because it depends on whether the plan sponsor is paying for the TPA service or you are.
Oh, that's true too. So that's something else possible.
Could be another half, right. Could be 2.5. So yeah, it's kind of spendy.
Yeah.
So as I said, Trevor, know those things, find out if there's a match, maybe save up to the match and then take the other money to a Roth IRA or just a regular old brokerage account.
Oh, I guess it depends on which R fund you have at Principal. The 2060, the R1, how can they do this? The R1 version is 1.55%.
No!
The R4 version is 1.06, and the R5 is a bargain priced 0.94.
And I think if you're there, you should say, are you serious? Come on. Really? Anyway.
Oh, the institutional is 0.67.
Ah, so much better. Okay, time for one more quick question.
Sure, one more.
From Portland, Oregon. Don't get me started. Hi, Don and Tom. I've been listening to your show and enjoying it, learning lots. My workplace retirement plan has limited options.
Everybody's does.
Yeah, and ours is the same, by the way. I've heard from both you and Paul Merriman. Remember him? We used to do something. Anyway, and it's good to tilt my portfolio towards value funds for diversification. However, the expense fees, you imagine what a value tilt would cost at Principal, by the way? The expense fees of the value fund, the J.P. Morgan Equity Income Fund, class R6, is at 0.45. Aren't you glad to work where you do instead of this other poor fellow at Principal versus the Vanguard Institutional Index? Now, the Vanguard Institutional Index has no value tilt. That is large right. U.S. growth type companies. That fund is 0.35. So he's saying, should I use both or should I just use the Vanguard Institutional Index Fund because it doesn't really have that sort of tilt, it doesn't, well, frankly, the institutional index has very little value, if any.
Yeah, I would, again, this is one of those deals where you use your different accounts to create the best portfolio. You buy the least expensive, which are usually the larger cap funds in your retirement plan at work, and then you get your value and your small tilt at a lower price by doing things outside of your company plan, either through your IRAs, Roth or otherwise, or again, directly through a regular old brokerage account.
And so here's an idea, by the way, along those lines. I would just use the Vanguard Institutional Index, and then as Don said, go outside, and you could use either Avantis has a very fine small cap value fund, AVUV, as does Vanguard, the Vanguard small cap value VBR. So either of those funds would be great. You could hold those in a Roth, and then you're getting tax free growth on an asset class that has had better performance than large growth companies anyway. So great question, Lee. Thank you, and good luck to the Portland Timbers. Just kidding.
Wow. Yeah. I'm just having so much fun. I looked up the Principal Global Multi-Strategy Fund.
Yeah, all right. Principally for them or principally for you?
Yeah, the Principal Global Multi-Strategy Fund, Class A, which means it's got an upfront commission.
I hope you're not paying in your retirement plan.
And annual fees. Get this. Okay, there's a commission up front, 5% up front. And then annual fees of 2.32% per year.
What?
Is that
is anybody paying that?
Yeah. They have $435 million in the fund. So people are
honestly 2.3. I didn't think I thought all that had gone away.
No. Not at insurance companies, sir.
That is truly outrage. That honestly, that is the outrage of the week. That's truly outrageous. Crazy. So
there are just too
many. And I'll bet you out of those 400 million, how many of those people actually know it? One or two?
Not any, probably. No, I doubt it. I mean, would you stay in a fund that was 2.32%?
If you came to you and said you could own the same group of stocks for 0.2 or you could own them for 2.3, what would you like? Let me think about that. I could get the gas there for $1. I could go across the street and get it for $20. I'll go for the $20 because that's a nice looking station they got there.
No. It just, I do not get why you really need to ask, folks, ask what the costs are of these things. And if somebody says there aren't any, then you know they're a liar.
There's a cost to everything. It. Yeah.
No, everything has a right. cost. So if somebody says, no, there's no cost, then you know they lie. They lie. And then that tells you everything you need to know. Well, folks, we've reached our 20-minute mark. Your commute is over. That's
or
the average length of a commute.
A lot of dog walking. We got a lot of dog walkers.
We have to go before you guys just turn us off and miss the best part, which is the ending.
Because I got
to
go pick up the dog thing. That's part of the dog walk. Please take your waste out with you. That's part of the walk.
Oh, that's the thing you were talking about.
Exactly.
Okay, I thought that's what you were talking about.
Exactly. The dog makes its contribution, too. You know, so there you go.
If you need any help, go to talkingrealmoney.com and just click
get
on
out of
the cool
you
buttons.
Get out of some of those contributions you're making. Sorry, that was too easy. I'm sorry.
We should have ended it a minute ago. Would have been better. So. I'm done.
It's stinking that's up to high heavens,
quiet,
all I can
you.
Say. Okay.
Stop. We're not even talking real money.
We hope you realize that the information provided on Talking Real Money is for informational, educational, and hopefully enjoyable purposes only. Providing personalized financial planning or investing advice takes time, so please consult with a really good fee-only fiduciary investment, tax, or legal advisor. We know a good one. Investing must always involve risk. In other words, you can and probably will lose money at times. Also, as much as you want it, no one can accurately and consistently predict the future, so past performance doesn't tell you a darn thing about what the future will bring. Unlike many other programs that say something similar, Talking Real Money is not trying to get you to buy or sell any financial products or securities. Instead, the program is provided as a public service by Appella Capital, a fee-only registered investment advisor. Thanks for listening, and please visit TalkingRealMoney.com for more information and disclosures. That's a wrap.